Hey, welcome to CJC Life Church. We follow the heart, we build for the King, we leave a path, eternity is the thing.
Horizon, that our eyes see clearly the glory of God. And we thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray. If you believe in prayer, would you please make some noise to the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. As I was coming yesterday from Colorado, I had to make some arrangements to get on an early flight so that I could be here yesterday with everyone. So the airport that I'm supposed to go to was Colorado Springs, and I was in 2.5 hours away from the airport. And there's a gentleman who said, hey, I'm leaving early morning, 3 a.m. in the morning, to go to Texas. And I requested the gentleman, hey, pastor, would you mind dropping me off on the way in Colorado Springs Airport? He said, definitely, pastor, I'll do that. So I left around 3 a.m. in the morning, local time. And as we are driving, and I was talking to a pastor, and I can see the road. I know there are mountains everywhere. I cannot see mountains, but I can see as far as the vehicle light is shining. And there's sometimes I feel like we're going through the mountains, and I'm feeling a little bit nervous and anxious, because I'm going through this route very first time, and I don't know where the turns are. I don't know where the driver need to slow down. He never drove on the route before, he said. He's also driving very first time. So I was just under my breath praying in to God. Hopefully everything goes well, because it's early morning and we cannot see clearly. At one point, we can see that a fog was coming on the horizon. And as fog was coming on the horizon, I kind of felt a little bit nervous and anxious as well.
So I was like looking around as like, hopefully everything is good. And I started worried about a little bit, like, hey, are we gonna make it on time? Are we gonna able to go through it? But what dawned on me was, driver was looking constantly to the console, that where he has an LCD that he could see the directions. And first time I noticed this beautiful scenario, that you can look through the windshield and you can only see so far. But on a GPS, it tells you the turning before the turning comes. On GPS, you could able to kind of have a perspective that maybe, you know, down the road, there is a turning coming up so that we can slow down. So in life, sometimes we can only see as far as our mind can able to comprehend. Even though God has more to reveal, our faith, our experience, our pain will allow us to see only so far. But if we could have a spiritual GPS, could let us know ahead of time, there is a curve coming right ahead of us, so you can slow down and steer gently. That would be beautiful. But that's not how some things happens to us. Things will happen and then we react. Sometimes we don't expect those things that happen to us. And it takes a lifetime to repair our thoughts after the episode that takes place. So tonight I want us to lean into this few thoughts the Spirit of God has been dealing with me. And then we're going to pray together You know, we have intercessors. We're going to pray for not only for the city, for the church, for things that God is doing, but also we're going to take at the end of communion as well. But this is why prayer is so essential, because Paul says when we pray, we don't know what we're really praying. Sometimes we pray mysteries as we pray. So we cannot see, but the prayers can go further to orchestrate some of the things of our lives, so that when we get there, we're not surprised, or we're not feel like we're destroyed. We're not feel like sickness caught us out of surprise. We don't feel like something has slipped under our feet. We don't feel that way. You know why? Because the prayer is preparing your mind for something that's coming ahead of you, so that your heart will be seasoned in God, not in other way around. And Israel was having this huge shift going on, that the nation was divided into two separate nations. There was a northern Israel and then southern Israel. And at this time of this whole shift, there was a king called Ahab, who was completely wicked in so many levels that he caused so much of chaos in the country. And his son, whose name is Joram, when he came as a king, he literally felt something is not right. Then he started cleaning up the high places. When Elijah came to know that Joram has some kind of a spiritual discipline, and Elijah started giving him all kinds of classified information from God to Joram about other countries. So Elijah would come and give them information about Syria, Amerians, and all these countries that are trying to destroy Israel. But God would speak a word to Elijah, and Elijah would go speak to this king who was spiritually obedient and was able to protect the country from the chaos that the father has caused it. But the son was able to lead the country in a beautiful way. But something took place in this time that Elijah was receiving so much of information from heaven to protect the country, to protect the land, to protect what God is doing. And this story that we're going to see today can help us to discern what the Spirit of God will do in our hearts as well. Because when we see future, there's so many unknown factors to future. When we see things that are happening right now, we get confused about a lot of things, which is the way just the human mind works. But the moment when God opens our eyes, then things begin to be more clear than what it used to be. And fear is evidence that life can be confusing. Nobody in this room are immune to fear. Nobody in this room can escape the force of fear. Fear will knock on our doors in a different formats, in a different ways. But the focus here is, how do I position myself so that I'm not going to become a slave to fear, but to see what God might be doing through my life? If not, we are constantly jumping from fear to fear. Even though we believe in God, even though we want to trust God, even though we go to church, even though we believe, we read the Bible, but there's a secret fear that's eating ourselves up because we have not overcome that. So the point is this: when God opens our eyes, fear loses its authority, and courage becomes our weakness. And this is what God wants to reveal to our hearts, so that when you wake up tomorrow, when you're thinking about September, when you're thinking about October, November, or December, your future, that the fear cannot be the one that's like steering your heart. Just 24 hours ago, I was afraid driving through that Colorado roads because I was scared about what I am not able to see. Even though I'm warm, I'm comfortable in the car, but some reason fear could peek into that space because what I cannot see. And what we cannot see will position us to this fear. So today, I want you all to look at this, that when God opens my eyes, when God opens your eyes, when God opens our eyes, fear loses its authority. And courage becomes our witness. Fear loses its authority. And I want that to happen tonight to all of us. I want all of our minds to come to the place where no matter what that fear is looking like today, no matter what kind of fear that might be threatening your life, no matter what that fear is in your heart, but I want God to open our eyes so fear loses its authority and courage becomes our witness. I want a courage to rise up. I want a focus to rise up. I want our life to come back to God and say, God, I'm not going to focus on this fear that I experienced, but I'm going to focus on you who has ultimate victory over my life. And some people might be, you know, worried about your immigration fear or health fear or financial fear, whatever the case might be. But here, I want you to see in this story, in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elijah was able to hear from God and start giving King all great things, something weird happened there. That one day, servant wakes up in the morning, and he goes out there to stretch himself, to enjoy the breeze, enjoy the sunshine. And when he opened his eyes, he saw something that he did not believe, he could not believe. And immediately he was struck with a fear. This is in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. When the servant of a man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with the horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And he says, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? Because the servant never prepared for that kind of vision. Or for that kind of morning. Servant never thought in his mind that that day is existed in his book. But this servant wakes up, who's been serving Elijah for a long time, and he sees this mass army is standing on the mountain surrounded. And immediately, servant is scared. Thinking about surrounded the enemies. David talks about this in Psalms 27, verse 1 to 3. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And here he says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he says, when the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. And he goes on to say, though an army surrounds me or besieges me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then, I will be confident. David is showing us a contrast to Elijah's servant. Elijah's servant who has been serving his master, and the master of Elijah is the most powerful God that whole Israel has ever experienced. But even the servant was seized in his heart with fear. David tells us, because servant's focus was not on God, might be on Elisha. Sometimes we all develop our kind of trust on people more than trusting God. Sometimes we put our trust on the anointings of the people or the giftings of the people, not putting trust on God. So when we put our trust on God alone, then all of a sudden you will have a just like David has, that my trust is in God. He is my salvation. That I will not be afraid even though I see the army of the enemy surrounds me. That I will not fear even though the war can break out against me. Even though, then I will be confident because God is his focus. So today I want to ask you, where is your focus this evening? Like, are you focusing on your own self? Are you focusing on the people that God put in your path? Are you focusing on God himself, who's able to save your soul, who's able to bring you out of anything and everything that you go through? This kind of panic that Elijah's servant going through is common to all of us. We all go through. Servants cry, what shall we do? He cried, what shall we do? In other words, reveals the heart of fear. And fear always shrinks the horizon to the size of your crisis. Even though we see how powerful our God is, the fear will make God so little. The fear will shrink the vision and the mission to the size of our crisis. We cannot see beyond that place and that thing because the fear is the one that's knocking on our door. The question is not whether the army is real. The question is whether the army is the biggest reality. Because in Elijah's mind, it changes everything. In Elijah, in 2 Kings 6:16, Elijah answers to him that even though the servant is panicking, there's a kingdom reality. There's a two realities that we're bombarding here. There's a natural reality and there's a spiritual reality. The natural reality, what we see regularly, what we feel regularly. But the kingdom reality is much bigger than what we see and feel, the natural reality. And Elisha, who has been living in the kingdom reality, he goes on to, he answers him, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Can somebody give the Lord round of applause? It is so beautiful how when you look into a kingdom resources, they are more than the natural resources. Kingdom armies are bigger and larger than the natural armies. And here God is speaking to Elijah's servant at the same time to us, that do not be afraid. And you have to make a decision tonight that you will not be afraid, for those who are with us more than those who are with them. And this is a kingdom statement, that what I don't see has more power than what I see today. Because God's unseen help outweighs the visible opposition. God's unseen resources will be so powerful than the visible problems that we see. As in what even Romans says, Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I like how Paul says to the church, he didn't say, if God be for me, who can be against me? He uses a plural language because we are the body of believers. When the body of believers are coming together under one voice, under one authority, under one covenant, under one contract that God has made with the heaven and earth. And when we come under, when we become that us, which is the body of Christ, God says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And Jesus said, gates of hell shall not prevail, because God is building a church that is so strong and powerful, and the mighty force that God is building. And again, we gotta believe in these words and believe in the prayer. Through prayer, we can move forward, that whatever that is out there, it's not gonna stop the work of the God. Whatever is out there, it will never hinder the power of God's goodness and grace. That if God is for us, who can be against us? Can somebody believe the Lord and give him a round of applause? Because you are the body of Christ. This is not a personal testimony. This is our covenant testimony. That God moves mightily when brothers coming together, when the body of believers in unity, and the power of God will manifest and move the mountains that are standing against you and I. And 2 Corinthians 4:18 reminds us, we fix our eyes not on what we see, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You see, there were so many unseen things that we haven't yet to see, and they're eternal. Paul says we fix our eyes. So tonight, I want to ask you to fix your eyes on prayer, on the things that matters most, the things that brings God glory, things that brings the anointing of the Lord, things that opens our heart to the portal of heaven, so that the fear cannot take a hold of us. Because we do have a rest of the 2026 that God can and will do mighty works among us. As the Telugu song they were singing, that wondrous works that God will do, and he has that ability to do, and he will do for us. So the enemy wants to believers to measure spiritual reality using earthly statistics. Enemy wants believers to measure a spiritual reality with all the narratives that we have been exposed, the emotional noise that we are under. But heaven is not intimidated by the chaos of earthly things. Heaven will never be intimidated by what we see and believe. And heaven will never be confused by what we see and what we experienced here. And it's amazing that if you flip the coin, as I was driving, my mind started talking to me. I thought we are heading to a destination. But also, in a quantum physics, the destination is coming towards you as well. You're not just going there, but the destination is also reaching you. So this army who was supposed to be outside of Israel, who never stepped into Israel, Armenians, they did not have courage to come in. But isn't that like they already felt the spiritual army was in Israel, and God opened the door for that earthly army to come in Israel. But something great happened in the time of when these earthly Armenians came here, not knowing there's a spiritual army around Elijah. But the very first time in the book of history that God demonstrated the grace, how it looks like in this story. That even though Elijah had so much army and Elijah captured them, but he did not kill any of these Armenians soldiers. In fact, He told the king to forgive them, feed them. He gave a feast to these enemies and sent them peacefully. So God, very first time, shows Elijah what the grace looks like. So when we are not in fear, you're able to extend grace to your enemies. When we're not focusing on the earthly things and focusing on the heavenly things, you look at enemies not as enemies, but some kind of a bridge for something that God is going to do through your life. And Elijah could see that the servant was in fear of the very people that God is going to use Elijah to give grace to people. But servants wants to kill them because he was in fear. Sometimes we walk like that. We look at certain group of people. We look at some of the individuals. We wish destruction on them. But when heaven opens on you, you're going to see the graceful thoughts. You're going to allow grace to lead your mind, not a fear to lead your mind. The fear-based journey will always cripple our mission and vision. So panic grows when temporary crises are given eternal weight. But faith will grow when eternal realities are allowed to define the temporary trouble. So how are we measuring our mindset? This is a powerful mindset. It's a mindset that I hear people when they talk. How do they think? What are their thoughts? Because their thoughts will define their destiny. The thoughts will define their stability, their focus. And Elijah could see servant is in fear. Elijah could see servant was focusing on earthly things more than the heavenly things. Elijah could rebuke the servant. Elijah could say, servant, you've been with me so long, how come you cannot see? That's not what Elijah did. In 2 Kings 6:17, Elijah prayed. Somebody say prayed. One more time, somebody say prayed. One more time, somebody say he prayed. So Elijah was bringing a fear person into a space of supernatural through prayer. Prayer is a great portal that opens the door for a person who is stuck in fear to come into a new place in heaven. And that's why there's a power in prayer. Can somebody give the Lord a round of applause? The prayer will break those portals of fear. The prayer will open, shatter that earthly mindset into spiritual mindset. Elijah prayed this prayer. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, saw the hills full of horses, chariots, watch this, a fire of all around Elijah. Same servant shifted from earthly to heavenly. But the pivoting thing is not the faith, even though we think it's faith. Pivoting thing is not anything in this text. A person who has a better thought process will lead people through prayer, not through conversation. The thinker who can see the things better than this will able to lead people through prayer, not in conflicts. And Elijah represents just like Jesus. Jesus could see what he was seeing, but the disciples could not see what Jesus was seeing. And Jesus looked at Peter. Peter, I prayed for you, Peter. I am praying for you, Peter, that you will not fall into the temptation of this earth. I'm going to pray for you, Peter, so that your elevation can come into a new place of dispensation. The prayers are opening a new doors for your life, for your church, for your people. Can somebody give the Lord a round of applause? The prayers are shifting the imbalancing of the earthly thing to the heavenly things. Elisha prayed, open his eyes, God. And this is my prayer, that we're going to open our eyes, because what God is getting ready to do is beyond your life, beyond yourself, beyond where you are. If you believe that God can do more through your life, can somebody give Jesus all the praise and honor? God wants to do more to us. And Paul said in Ephesians 1:18, I pray. Again, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. There is inheritance that you and I have access to. And sometimes we live like we're orphans. Sometimes we carry ourselves like slaves. Sometimes we struggle in life thinking when God is going to do for me. But in fact, the only thing that's needed is your eyes need to be open for the things that you have not seen. Your eyes of your heart needs to be enlightened so that we can see the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And I want God to do something tonight. I don't want to preach a message to transition to next thing. I knocked on the door of heaven. God, I'm seeing something. I'm feeling something. I'm sensing something. God, I want my eyes to be open to see beyond what we have seen. I want my eyes to see the glory of the Lord that I have yet to see. I want my eyes to gauge into that riches of inheritance among his holy people. And I want my eyes to be open. And we want that hunger in our hearts. Prayer does that. Prayer will help us to bring ourselves into a better place, a holy place, a connecting place with God. Elijah played an incredible role in a dysfunctional society, representing how Jesus was. King had no eyes to see. Nation had no eyes to see. His own servant could not see. But some reason Elisha, by the grace of God, by the double portion of Elisha, he could able to walk into that ultimate meaning of double portion. That he probably thought the double portion is having more power, which he did. He walked in more power than the Elisha walked in. But the double portion of his the eyes, that his eyes were enlightened to see the enemies in a way that nobody has ever seen before. His grace has shifted. And he even opened his own servant's eyes. And this is why Ephesians 1:18 is so important to us, to just not to read it and forget it. Praying. I prayed this prayer. God, open my heart eyes to see. Because look at how Elijah was carefully put this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. If that happens, you're walking in a new dispensation of glory of God. You're walking in a whole different ways. Because when I think about the glory of God, I think about the four faces of the glory. There's the face of lion who walks boldly, courageously. There's the face of ox who's willing to carry the burden and go down as much as you can. And I see the face of a man who has a great relationships with everybody, no matter what their background and the color, the ethnicity and the social status, but they have a beautiful connection just like Jesus. And I see another image of the glory of God is the eagle that flies above the storms and circumstances and looks down and rides over the clouds. And when I think about the glory of God, these four images are floating in my head. And no wonder why we are the spirit being, which is your lion personality. No wonder why we are the soul who are able to carry all kinds of burdens, which is your ox personality. You have the humanity as people can connect and relate with you through the logic. Then you have your mind, which is the mind of Christ. Your body, your spirit, and your soul can be here, but your mind can go as far as other side of the world in a split second. And when that mind is completely transformed, and when we have the mind of Christ, our eyes will be enlightened for the glory of God to completely reveal to our hearts. And I'm throwing a words that you probably never heard, or maybe you did not understand. But this is my prayer as we are transitioning into worship and pray. I'm going to ask our intercessors going to come and pray. But I feel like the prophetic night is not about prophesying over people, which I can do it. I can turn into myself to God. I can give you a social security number. I can do that kind of stuff. But that's not what the Spirit of God is telling me. Spirit of God is telling me our eyes need to be open for something more is coming our way. Something big is coming our way. We got to be ready for the glorious King of Kings, a Lord of Lords. Can somebody give God all the glory? Our eyes need to be enlightened by the glory of God. Our eyes need to be enlightened so the Spirit of God can take us into the next thing, into the next thing. And this is the impartation that tomorrow maybe God will do, that God can give that new sense of urgency, new desire for prayer, new desire to deeply connect with Him. Not just for what we can get on this earth, but how we can receive that spiritual sight that never leaves us nor forsakes us. A spiritual sight. Why this is matter is simple. We cannot see beyond the chaos. If we cannot see what we're seeing right now, we will be like victims of the moment. The victimized thinking is one of the brutal thinking of Christian faith. Entitlement. We will stop others' growth. We will not become the person of encouragers, because our focus is on chaos and we can't see. But if God opens your eyes, which I believe tonight, this weekend, God will open your eyes, we become carriers of peace in a panicking age. Because as soon as schools open next week, there's going to be chaotic movements because you have not prepared for that day. It's coming. You got to wake up in the morning. You got to move yourself. Your body needs to readjust. Your mind needs to readjust. Your children are going to act up and your attitude is going to spit out. All of a sudden, you're going to be in the middle of the chaos and you're supposed to be the one carrying the peace, but you break your family because you have not developed to raise your spiritual eyes to see. We need to become carriers of peace. No wonder why Isaiah reminds us tonight, 26:3 says, God keeps him in perfect peace, the one whose mind is stayed on him. That is not a passive spirituality. It is a focused trust. It is the one that God wants all of us to have. John 16, 33, Jesus said, Jesus assures that he says, in the world you will have a tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome, and I'm the one going to give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. So here are my three specific responses for this night. The first one is, as Richard and the team is going to come and sing, I want you to do this, not for me, for yourself. I want you to do this. Name your fear honestly. Say it out loud where you feel surrounded. Tonight you have to put that out there in the atmosphere. As Pastor Kumar and Dana is going to pray after worship, you got to put that out there. Let the prayers knock it down. Let that fear melt away in the glorious presence of God. You name that fear honestly. Whatever that fear is, I have my fear that I'm dealing with. I'm gonna say it out loud as we worship. And I want my eyes to be open, not on myself, not what I have accomplished, what I can accomplish, not what I can do, what I cannot do. But my eyes, I want to see the glorious King. Who is real? Who is more authentic than myself? Whose riches I cannot count? Whose glory is beyond my comprehension? And I want to see that. As I'm talking about him, I can feel his presence. How many feel his presence? And I want you to do this, these three things, the specific things you can do. Pray Elijah's prayer for your spouse, for your children, for the people that God put under your influence, the people that are in your life that cannot see what you're seeing. Ask God, God, open my children's eyes, God. Open my friend's eyes, God. Open my abuser's eyes, God. Open my enemy's eyes. Open my opponent's eyes. And the last one is, refuse crisis-only interpretation. Before you react, ask what God may be doing behind the scenes. Because Elijah's servant couldn't see beyond. He can only see what he can see. He couldn't see. So spiritually, that I'm feeling that God sent Armenians in Israel to reveal the army that Israel has been having all along. There is no way in the Bible you have this kind of story. This army was all along was there. That's the reason why God protected the entire nation. But first time, he sends enemies to expose the light. First time, he sends the Armenians to reveal the army that has a fire. So today, I don't want you to be afraid of whatever that is. I want you to press in and say, God, let my eyes be enlightened. Let my eyes be enlightened. And I'm prophetically feeling this, y'all. Shift is already began. And you're going to see it before end of this year. Take my word. I don't say it publicly like that. before end of this year, there's gonna be things that's coming your way, or the ways that's gonna God is gonna do, it will shock you beyond your mind. If you believe that God is able to do it, would you please make that noise to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that He will do it. My eyes of enlightenment has been opened. And we're gonna pray, Lord, open my eyes. I'm praying, open the eyes of the city, God. Open the eyes of unbelievers, God. Open the eyes of churchgoers, God. Open the eyes of people that cannot see clearly, God. That I do not confuse what is loud. I don't want to be confused by what I see in the Fox News, CNN News, or whatever I see. I don't want to be confused by that, because that noise is temporary, but the eternal is bigger than what we see and what we feel. Can somebody bless the Lord? That armies are around us to show us that we can see. So those who are with us more than those who are with them. If you could just stand to your feet. This is the exercise we're gonna do. If you could just stand to your feet and forget about me, forget about who's next to you. Forget about everything. I want you to sincerely press into God. Not for myself, but for yourself. Which means if you feel led to come to the altar, just come. No pressure. We don't do anything that's pressuring people. But when you are going through something that your focus is on your chaos, and that chaos cannot control your future, the chaos is going to destroy you. That's not who you are. You are a child of God. You can't be under slavery of the fear of this chaos. This chaos has to go tonight, not tomorrow, right now. Has to go. I got to see that freedom in my soul. But it begins with you. How courageous are you? Are you worried about what people say about you or think about you? Or are you worried about, I got to see something about myself that I could not see it in the past. Now is my time. I can feel it. I know it. I know the Lord is calling me into the mountain of the Lord. I got to see it tonight. I got to see it tonight. I'm tired of going through the same. I got to see it. I don't want to be the servant God. I want to be like a prophet who can see everything around me. I got to see tonight. My eyes have to be opened tonight by the glory of God. Open my eyes, Lord. As we worship, you can put your hands on your eyes, your heart, your mind, and say, God, open. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with me. I gotta see. Thank you, Lord.
Can you worship the Lord to get prepared for the prayer?
Thank you for being part of our community. For more information, please go to cjclife.com. If God lays it in your heart to partner with us, please give and bring your first fruits to honor God so that we can continue to move the mission forward. Again, thank you and God bless.